Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Tech and Happy New Year. We hope that your 2016 is a good one. I'm Stephen Jolly. On the line is Vision Australia Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant David Woodbridge. And that was for you too, David. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. And good afternoon as usual.
Now, last week, we did something a little different. We talked to a blind technologist who popped up from the United States a few years ago when the digital world was starting to link us all together. And there's someone else we're going to talk to today who's very much become known to people all over the world in this more recent digital era, but probably over the last 15 or 20 years or so. And David, you're going to introduce him.
I am indeed. Now, basically, it's really weird because I find as a podcaster myself, you actually feel like you know this person because you've been listening to them for a long time. This particular person who is basically the voice, and people might know who he is straight away when I say this. He's the voice of FSCast, which is Freedom Scientific's podcast. For me, he's been the voice of ACB Radio Main Menu in the dim distant past. So if any further ado, I'd like to introduce Jonathan Mosen all the way from New Zealand.
Hi, David. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. Love your work.
Thank you.
So perhaps we better start, Jonathan, by getting you to explain to us how it all happened for you. You grew up as a blind person in New Zealand?
Yes, I did, and was always quite interested in radio. And through some, I guess, persistence, just calling into radio stations on and off from a very early age, I actually started doing some broadcasting stuff from the age of about four. And there were some pretty scary recordings of me still floating around as a very young kid. And radio's been in my blood. And so I worked professionally in radio for a while, did some other things in advocacy for the Blind Foundation here in New Zealand, but eventually made my way back to radio when ACB asked me to manage ACB Radio and set that up from scratch. And it's been quite an unexpected but wonderful career trajectory. I've really enjoyed it.
So when was that, late 90s?
Yes, I was managing government relations for quite a while, but then in 1999, I set up ACB Radio, and it was a good time to do it because the technology was becoming better and people were getting more bandwidth, more devices on which they could listen to internet radio, and it brought the blind community together in a new way, harnessing technology in a way that it hadn't been harnessed before.
You're a real champion of this sharing information across the world, aren't you?
Yeah, because I think we just have so many barriers as it is that if we can find various mechanisms to share our knowledge, then that's great. You know, I'm not very good at, say, mechanical things like cars or doing the plumbing and things like that. But for whatever reason, I do enjoy technology and I enjoy explaining it to people. And so I figure if that's a contribution that some of us can make, maybe we can make life a bit easier for others and help them into employment or just better using the technology they have.
That's quite correct. I mean, I've actually been a person who's been bought a lot of your books and audio demos over the year, actually quite a few of them anyway. But what I'd like to actually talk about, I guess, in some ways too, is how do you organize all your material, particularly in your audio demos, so it actually sounds logical, sequential, and the fact that you can just sit down and go through it nice, comfortably. I remember back in the probably the 90s, and I feel like I'm getting old now, but in the 90s, there used to be these audio demos called Talk to Me Through tutorials that you could sit down and listen to the synthesizer, and they were actually really, really excellent tutorials. Yours are very similar. So I'm just wondering how you organize yourself and how do you actually make it sound so sequential and logical?
See, we are getting ancient, David, because I remember those too. And Doug Wakefield did those. And he was brilliant. He was the model that I followed when I started doing demonstrations for Main Menu and things. He set the bar. He was so professional and he had a broadcasting background. I suppose I do make a kind of a roadmap of a long audio tutorial, for example, the Amadeus Pro one, which is a sound editor for the Mac. And I know that you purchased that one and I appreciate that. That was quite an involved one to do, to teach it in a way that logically built on some basics. And the question was, well, what order do you do these things so that it seems logical that you're building one set of skills onto another? And it almost takes like a lesson plan, a map that I would write down saying, okay, this is the order in which I'm going to cover things. And once I get that map organized, then I start to think, how best can I explain this concept. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not the kind of person that can just sit down, open a mic, and let it rip. But I tend to think if somebody's, you know, a podcast is fine, people will do their best. But if people are paying for a product, I think you have an obligation to keep it flowing, make sure it's logical, make sure that the facts are accurate. So I do spend quite a lot of time researching and writing before I get into the audio production side.
I want to follow this up with a question to both of you. When there's a new product on the scene, it might be the Apple Watch or it might be Apple TV, and both of you have very thoroughly put together podcasts about it. How have you got that material together? David, do you want to go first and then Jonathan?
Okay, well, interesting enough for me, I have this strange feeling when I get a new product. I want to get to know the product personally, which sounds a bit weird, but I sort of, this is going to sound very existential, but I almost like become the product from a completely new user's point of view. And then I write lots and lots and lots of notes. So what you hear at the end of my official demos is probably about, for just one single podcast, which may only go for about 5 to 8 minutes, you're getting around about 8 hours of work, just pure notes. And then normally recording, I will normally do the recording at least 3 times minimum. And then the third draft of that recording, I then edit, and then normally edit about 3 times after that. So I'm very pedantic, because what I don't like in podcasts these days is a lot of people that go, and the worst one I've ever heard is, oh, that didn't work. I'm feeling a bit thirsty. I think I'll just pop off to the fridge and grab a Coke. And it's really embarrassing. So I try and make my podcast specific, targeted. They're very clear. I don't waste time in saying, hi, it's David Woodbridge from Vision Australia. If people don't know my voice by now, then there's something wrong with them. That was actually with an exclamation mark. And I just enjoy doing podcasts that people find of use. But there's a lot of work involved in them. People just say, you know, obviously you can just, you know, whack off a podcast in 4 minutes. But no, there's a heck of a lot of work involved in producing what I see myself as producing quality podcasts.
Jonathan?
Yeah, first of all, what I really like about your work, David, is that even if I don't own a particular product and I listen to you doing a podcast about it, I kind of feel like I'm a new user playing with this myself. And I know that it's structured and I know you've done your work, and it doesn't sound scripted, but clearly it is, because it's moving along at a good clip. But I really like that. And actually, when I bought a Mac about 3 years ago, my first Mac, because I decided that I needed a bit of brain expansion and I wanted to learn the Mac in the same way that somebody might choose to learn another language, I got an awful amount from your podcasts and the writings that you'd done initially. And I think my approach is quite similar, actually. I try and put myself in the position of a new user and think, you know, okay, their time is precious, so I do have to keep it moving along and I do have to keep it fluent, but also not assuming that they know things that I know. So it is a bit of an art form, and I suppose sometimes I get it right and sometimes I don't. And that is one of the reasons why some of the things I work on now are not audio related, they're written. And it takes in some ways a different kind of discipline to write something down as opposed to do an audio tutorial. But I know that sometimes particularly busy people, they don't have time for a podcast that might meander. And of course, David's don't meander, but some do. And so to have a text resource where everything's navigable by heading and you can quickly look at the table of contents and get to where you need to be, there is a need for that sort of material too. So I try and do a combination of both.
Let's go down another track now. Jonathan, you have a significant hearing loss as well as your blindness. Can you tell us how you've used the technology to combat that?
Sorry, can you ask the question? Yeah. No, I'm only joking. I do, and it's deteriorated over time. I wear behind-the-ear hearing aids now, and I suppose that I'm fortunate that things have happened in the order that they have, because I've used technology all my life to get the job done, whatever the job of the moment happens to be. And so when my hearing started to deteriorate as an adult, I tried not to be mopey and gloomy about it. It's hard sometimes because it's insidious. It just gradually goes bit by bit. But I decided to use the technology skills that I have to turn this into a challenge and make sure, you know, my radio and audio background helps, because when I go to an audiologist, I can talk their language. I can talk about frequency roll-offs and decibels and stuff that they understand. And so when I partner with a good audiologist, it's kind of a fun exercise to see how far we can push the technology and just look at what new technology might exist.
And also tell us your vision for technology in the near future. We talked to Dr. Robert Carter about this last week, the tech doctor. And by the way, people, you can get his program if you want to via the page that we'll tell you about at the end of the program. But tell us what you think about technology in the next year or so.
I'm feeling quite optimistic, actually. I think one of the final frontiers for us has been appliances. And increasingly with the Internet of Things, which is a concept where all kinds of devices will be connected to the Internet, that gives us the opportunity to control previously inaccessible devices via an accessible one, whether it be you're washing to set the program, or you know somebody knocks a button on your dishwasher and you can't work out how to get it back to the normal wash. You can do, hopefully, all these things in future by using a smartphone that's accessible. I do hope very much that Android continues to improve. In my experience, at least for my needs, it is not on a par with Apple quite yet, but it's making quite substantial improvements. And I want to see that continue, because I want to be a customer of a particular company's because they meet my needs, not because they're the only real game in town. So I hope we'll see Android continue to enhance their accessibility efforts.
Actually, I want to follow that comment up with a comment of myself about the Internet of Things too, because I know if I have a blackout here in Gosford on the Central Coast in New South Wales, Australia, my clock on my oven needs to be reset before I actually can use the oven. And up until now, it's either wait for my wife to come home or press a series of random buttons, hoping that one of the random series will actually turn the oven back on again. And it's really infuriating, because my wife just walks in the door, goes to the kitchen, presses the buttons that she needs to press, and within 2 seconds, it's back on again. So to me, that's the same thing, Jonathan. I quite agree that whatever company will get my service if they can provide the level of access that I need. And it really doesn't matter to me whether it's Apple, Samsung, Microsoft, or whoever else it might be, as long as I can get access to the technology. And I know, Jonathan, you've always said this, that it's not so much the brand that you use, it's actually the tools that you use to do any task that you need to undertake.
Jonathan, just in a few seconds, Mosen Consulting, what do you do and where can people find out more?
Predominantly, we provide ebooks and audiobooks from time to time, and one-on-one training for individuals, or sometimes agencies get me in to deal with some backlog. And if people would like to find out more about what's in the Mosen Consulting store, they can go to mosen.org, that's mosen.org, and take a look at the accessible site that's there.
And that will be in the show notes. Jonathan Mosen, it's been a treat speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
And David, just remind us where we can get those show notes.
As always, the show notes are available on my blog site, http://davidwoodbridge.blogspot, that's blogspot.com.au.
davidwoodbridge.blogspot.com.au. This has been Talking Tech with Jonathan Mosen, and it's been terrific to have him along with us. Also, David Woodbridge, Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant with Vision Australia. I'm Stephen Jolly. We'll talk again next week.